Greetings, this is James Dillon. I'm your host on As You Wish Talk Radio. We've got another great show. There's so many things going on the planet right now. And I've always been very happy to hear Laura Eisenhower and Dr. Dream's view on what's happening and bring a little sanity to this planet and in this world of chaos we're going through. But, you know, chaos is good. It means things are moving, things are changing, and we're moving into a more evolved state of awareness and hopefully a more evolved state of living. So without any further ado, I want to bring on Laura and Dr. Dream. Are you with us?
Yes.
Absolutely. Hello.
Yeah, I'd read your bios, but you've been on the show so often, and you're a great friend to be steady. And so I don't want to take up any time as far as all the information that we'd really like to get into, but I don't. Either one of you can start in on it. I'm just curious. What do you? I don't know which subject you want to go into, but we've got the total craziness in Iraq. All these monetary things coming forward. All these shifts in energy. Wherever you want to start, I'll just let you take the helm.
Well, I mean, it's so exciting that we're going to be there for the weekend because it really just is going to be filled with all sorts of things that kind of touch every level of one's being, because we do session work and we're also doing workshops. And really, for me, the focus on my workshops, you know, really has to do with the fact that this shift that we're in is really an inner shift, and it's an inner shift into our multidimensional nature. And as we do that inner work, we are able to experience it externally. And so I'll be discussing the organic ascension timeline and how it relates to the inward journey. And I'll be sharing a bit about my personal story and some of the hidden agendas I was able to overcome, and also really getting into depth about the ET government treaties and also the benevolent races out there that are, you know, working with us, and, you know, how we're also needing to take, you know, full responsibility for ourselves. And I've gotten a lot of new information about Alternative 3 and the Mars agenda and what it means for us today. And so it's really exciting because there's always excitement when there's new information and another, you know, big missing link that gets added into the mix. So I'll be bringing a lot of new stuff out on that level. And then, you know, just really about what the cosmos has in store for us and what we need to urgently address as, you know, we're up against the final attempts of, you know, the hidden controllers to keep us unconscious, trapped, and distracted. And then I'll be doing a workshop called Reclaiming Our Divine Blueprint and Shattering the Illusion of Separation. And it's really about how to navigate these turbulent times through empowering our awareness of Gaia Sophia timelines, our galactic history, and these hidden agendas and the dark use of technology. And, you know, it's really about empowering our divine blueprint and, you know, looking at how we can liberate ourselves from the artificial matrix and mind control and duality, and how the wheel of the zodiac assists us with this, but also how we are graduating from the wheel and we're moving on into our galactic consciousness. And so I'll also be sharing a lot about the current threats we're dealing with: geoengineering, transhumanism agendas breathing down our necks, and really just how we can achieve global alchemy. And I'm excited because, of course, Dr. Dream is presenting as well, and going to pass it over to him.
James, you are absolutely right. The level of chaos is at times a little bit astounding for me. And so this year, as far as my outreach and, you know, what I'm presenting, really has me going back to the most practical aspects of this process. And so for me, it's about, you know, well, what can I focus on? What can be put into place that will allow more grace and ease for me to go through these chaotic times and these major shifts, not just in my own self, but, you know, we're all affected by everything that goes on around us also. And so my presentation at this retreat weekend, which is July 25, 26, 27th up at the ranch, is the Practical Ascension, the Lost User's Guide, which can be looked at as the Lost User's Guide or the Lost User's Guide. And it's just fun. It's an opportunity for, you know, for me, I spend a lot of time in the sort of etheric, heady realm, but then I've got to bring it all down to the most practical way to be living. And, you know, it's tough. This week, you know, has been a tough week. I had a lot, and it's only whatever day it is today. It's only Thursday. You know, and it's just fascinating for me to watch my own process and learn from that and then create opportunities to share that with people and hope that that can have, you know, an impact on what they're dealing with.
Yeah, it does seem like it's that time to bring it down to earth. I was working on a presentation and I was just had all this just outrageous information and everything else. And I said, you know what it all boils down to is we just have to figure out how we got lost. Find out our true history and how we established our beliefs. And then find out which ones work and which ones don't, and toss out the ones start tossing out the ones that don't, and start operating under universal law, and find the courage and integrity to stand in our own divinity and say, you know, we're not going that direction. You know, force our leaders to send us in the right direction or lead us in the right direction.
Yeah, definitely. And it's so great how you put that because, you know, we have to give more credit to our physical bodies and the symptoms that our bodies produce and, you know, those gut instincts that we have and what our inner voice is telling us and how we respond and react to energy and just use that as, you know, a guide and allow life to be the teacher so that we're always in the now, you know, getting something from both positive and negative things that happen outside of us where it can assist us in finding that inner balance and the seniority over, you know, the lower forces that want to, you know, take us down. And it, you know, enables us to be empowered to be that present, you know, instead of too much, you know, lost in the information. And of course, that's a part of it, but it's definitely a time to be grounded and to be just really centered in the self and to feel that, you know, one can establish boundaries and live from one's own truth without thinking, oh, I need to follow this and this person's telling me to do this. It's like, well, let the physical body be the gauge because we produce symptoms for a reason. And when we're not well, there's deep messages that, you know, are coming forward that we need to pay attention to. And that's what's great about doing the combined sessions because that's with all the information mm-hmm. in the workshop, then we get to work with people one-on-one to, you know, help them get more anchored in the body and have that spirit connection so that, you know, the body can be a greater vessel for spirit to reside in.
Mm-hmm. I like Dr. Dream's thing about we need a manual. I think we should write it instead of the mark of the beast, we should just write the manual on everybody's forehead, you know, just, you know, right on brother, sisterly love, universal peace, individual freedom and prosperity for all, and make that a tattoo on everybody's forehead instead of taking the mark of the beast. You know?
Right.
And then the manual's right there for everyone.
I love it because it, you know, it brings up a great point. You know, there's so many distractions. You know, people start to forget the most basic aspects of what this experience is. Love yourself, respect yourself, love everyone else, respect everyone else. You know, and it's like, yeah, but things get so crazy with all these magazines, billboards, news stories, people acting out and acting up and everything else that just the most basic aspects of what we should be carrying in this life are so easy to forget at times for some people.
Yeah, I was writing the other day just about let's go back to kindergarten. Let's graduate from that because we are so skilled. We can read, we can write, we can build incredible architecture. I mean, when we look at what humanity is capable of as far as skills and abilities, it's profound. But we got like the most important ability of all is the hardest of us to achieve, but it's the simplest and most natural. And it's just been we've been bombarded with these programmings, and we just, you know, have to stop, you know, trying to fit in or doing what we think is right based on what's outside of us. We just have to get to the core of who we are because oneness is diversity and harmony. It's not all about, you know, this is the one way. It's like, well, what is your way? And treat others with respect for what their way is. And then it's like the web of life on a human level is working together in that oneness, but with that diversity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like every culture has a program of what it means to be you know, enlightened or prosperous or, you know, they have all a success or whatever else. They all have these different programs, and then they try to push these programs on others, and they all have their different images and their different, you know, creator and different, what do you call it, rules and regulations or codes of behavior. And it's interesting, where one civilization, you know, it's, you know, be kind to each other and planet, another one would be start lopping off arms and legs and whoever doesn't agree with your belief system.
Right.
What do you think the, boy, this is a loaded question. I mean, last time I was on the air, it was pretty funny, with Dr. Graham. I don't know if you probably remember that, but I had a black helicopter fly right over the room here where I was doing the show. And we're still recovering from that, me physically and the phone lines. And that's why I'm on a cell phone right now, because our phone lines are just fried. We're going to have all new lines put in. But I think that's quite interesting. We have this element out there that are definitely threatened by unity and peace and people awakening and working in harmony with each other. And then, you know, there is that, you know, unstoppable awakening that's underway. Where do you think we're at in that process?
Well, the process of unification and, you know, everything that, you know, is trying to stand in the way is a deeply, deeply embedded, you know, agenda, you know, back from when, you know, Atlantis fell and, you know, we became immersed in this lower density and got taken advantage of because the ascension process was going to be done sort of more slowly based on us sharing codes and upgrading our DNA based on, you know, a different way of moving into the totality of who we are. Because when we are whole, you know, these invader forces undermined it and started to hybridize. And so those forces, you know, just want to basically be in control and in charge. And so everything out there is to create separation. And every hidden technology under the sun is to create that. You know, the grid lines are being affected. We're, you know, dealing with, you know, weather modification, the control of nature. So one doesn't have to look very far to see that, wow, if they're trying to control Mother Nature, they're trying to control us. And it's, you know, all about keeping us in that lower emotional energy, our lower chakras, in reaction mode and in survival. And so, you know, if we cut the cords and we just say, okay, well, that's nice, and I'm not, you know, going for that, the energy of unification is just as natural as the regenerative power of nature. I mean, our bodies and just energy in general only knows how to regenerate and only knows how to be, you know, cyclical. And, you know, just like when a flower or anything composts itself, the soil becomes richer and the new growth is even stronger. So it's the mind control that takes our minds away and distracts it away from what's already naturally and organically happening, which creates a lot of disruption in our energetic system. You know, because electrical light energy comes in and affects the nervous system and gives us upgrades. But if that electrical current is tampered with and the mind is, you know, pulled away from it, it creates unwellness and it creates separation or the illusion of separation. And everybody's kind of in that struggle and battle. And only the ego, you know, can feel good about itself by stomping on others and trying to gain status and wealth to have the false light, you know, kind of sustain that individual. And of course, that's not the way to go. We want to, you know, move beyond that false light and go into the dark night of the soul to find the true light of spirit. And it's all very natural. So the minute we unplug, it's like it's already there. We don't really need to try once we choose to unplug, because it's as natural as cutting yourself and having your immune system form a scab. You know, it's just, we don't need to command it to do it. It just does it. But if we don't unplug, then we're immersed in the system and we're constantly giving our power away. So being in alignment with the galactic plane right now gives us that much more of a boost. And so all we really need to do is unplug and just choose integrity and choose, you know, our own self-love. And the hard part is over, you know. It's the propaganda we got to step away from.
I think it's a great idea for...
Go ahead,
James. I think it's a great idea. Yeah. And for me, I think it's a great question for each individual to look at. You know, what is the state of, you know, the collective reality? And it becomes so subjective and so relative that if each of us ask that, and then for the answer, we look into our own energetic field, into our own process. Because whatever I'm experiencing in my energetic field and in my process is bringing into my experience those reflections at that same resonance, at that same frequency. And so, you know, again, it's identifying what's going on in the outer by turning within and seeing where the individual's inner workings, inner energetic, inner world is focused on. And that's the thing. You know, again, it's I mentioned before about just this high level of distraction that can keep us from all that. But the answer is always, you know, for me, what's going on with my energetic field? What am I focused on? Where, you know, where are my triggers right now? Where is my emotional energetic not serving the energetic that I really want to be carrying and be a beacon of at this time? Mm-hmm. Challenging is all get out as far as I'm concerned, but I don't know what else there is. So it's more rewarding than anything.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking out my window right now, which is quite interesting. And I'm just seeing that one of the biggest chemtrail brain operations going on, you know, with the little toxic dump that they're doing. And I think about that, and I go, you know, like a doctor, if, you know, bringing it down to earth, you know, the first thing you realize is, hey, there's a wound, you know, or there's something going on. And then you go, well, I need to find the source of that. You know, what? How did I get that wound, or how? Or what is this thing that's you know, growing on me, or whatever else? And then the next step would be, okay, I need to act. I need to do something. I need to stop this thing from spreading, or I need to, you know, put a salve on it, or whatever else. And when you get down to basics, you know, this is the simple basics. I was wondering, you know, you could apply that to the chemtrails. You look at it and you go, oh, you know, it's like, you know, a lot of people are getting very sick, very ill. Their immune systems are, you know, greatly overtaxed. You know, it seems to be getting stronger and stronger. There's you know, the heavy metals are cumulative. You know, they're building up. You know, well, what do I do about this? And it seems like there's many different things. One, I need to get the heavy metals out of my system. I need to start cleaning up my diet, you know. And then cleaning up my thoughts around it, not giving a lot of power. But at the same time, it seems like we need to unify together as a collective and say, hey, you know, knock it off. You know, you need to stop mm-hmm. this nonsense.
Absolutely. I mean, this is the time for us to, you know, give our voice to those things that we want to bring change to. And at the same time, not, you know, let's use the geoengineering as an example, not look up at the spraying and own it so completely that we allow it to create a crack in our foundation where it can really get in and do damage to us. And that seems to be the fine line, is standing up for what we believe without owning all the other stuff. Because, you know, we see this all the time. People that are so aware of weather modification and geoengineering and what's being sprayed that creates what I believe what it does is it creates a crack in the foundation, and that then allows those energies to bring down that person's energy. You know, and this is a tough one, because we're, as more truths are coming out and more of the proof of the manipulations and everything else, and as people are waking up to this, they have to find a way to assimilate this information and this energetic without it taking them down.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's interesting.
It's a tricky one.
It is a tricky one, but at the same time, it's like, you know, I look at it like the bully in the sky, and it's like, oh, yeah, you really think that you can take me down? You really think that, you know, you're going to push me into a corner and cause me fear and disempowerment? And it's like, we got to let, you know, a force within us say, you know, well, watch me, watch this. Because first of all, spirit is way more powerful than any of it. It can transmute all of this. And as we expand our consciousness, you know, we're able to assimilate and transmute and create alchemy. I mean, that's, you know, that's a given. We can turn lead into gold, and it's a soul alchemy process, and the ancients understood this, but it ended up getting so focused in on, you know, what one can do in the lab and things about Ormus that we've lost our capacity to understand that it's a soul process which connects to the four elements, earth, air, fire, water, and then to, you know, the fifth element, spirit. And the Illuminati have, you know, made it all about the inversion of the pentagram and us being immersed in matter and the physicality of our existence. where we are crushed by all this stuff and we're in survival and we're, you know, taking on these toxins and, you know, we're not able to, you know, process it or work with it because our consciousness is in such a low frequency. But when we flip it over and we align with spirit, it's like we do create alchemy and it's and that's how it works. And so it's just really important that, you know, we respond in this way because this is what we're being asked to do and it affects the planet. And we are lucid dreamers and we're in a bit of a metaphor right now of what we're seeing. And as long as we can answer with that part of who we are, the energetic output that we emit into the environment is going to be a part of, you know, how we shift the planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's getting to be quite a challenge, but I mean that's what we're here for, self-mastery. You know, this is the biggest test of all, and it seems like we're really being tested to the inch of our mastery on this go around.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, yeah. It's an exciting challenge because it's just, you know, when you think like the tarot deck, the Fool card is the number zero. And how can, you know, something called the Fool be zero, which is like the 0 point energy. But the thing with the Fool is the Fool doesn't mind falling down and getting back up again. It's in the now and it's in divine innocence. And it's okay falling down and getting back up again because it knows it gains wisdom and it doesn't need to judge itself. It doesn't need to overthink. It doesn't need to go into fear. It's just in connection with spirit. And so, you know, that's a great tool to, you know, remind ourselves of if we feel crushed by what we're seeing around us, is to get into that Fool mentality and just be in the now and just let the energy flow through you, because that energy that's flowing through you can transmute this stuff. And we can lift ourselves out of that funk and then guide other people to do the same. And that's why we're witnessing this, but we're not of it. Other people are, and we're here to help them, you know, break the programming, because you have to buy into the programming for any of this stuff to work anyway. That's the bait of the media and the news and everything we see out there, is to bait us into and to lure us into that lower mentality so that we do get affected by the nanoparticles and everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a little while ago, we just finished our conference here, and I was walking out in the field, walking up some people, and I stepped on a hornet, and it popped me a good one, you know, in the foot. You know, and I reacted like, yow, you know, like, what was that? And then I thought about it, and once I got bit by a brown recluse, and Baba G came to me, and he said, you can have it either way. And I said, what do you mean? He said, give it back to the earth. And so I just said, hey, well, thanks. Thank you. I don't need this medicine. You can have it. You know, I can give you back your medicine, you know, like this. And I just sent it back into the earth. And it was amazing. It just went away, like, very fast. I mean, it was just, you know, everything left. And I was, when I was talking to Chief, I was like, oh, what a bummer. And I said, well, I'd sting me, too, if I stepped on me. Yeah, if somebody has a big monster stepped on me, I'd sting it too. You know, so I can't get mad at the hornet. You know, it was my not being aware of where my feet were. But at the same time, you know, I had a choice. I could be a victim of the hornet, or I could say, wow, I need to watch where I'm walking, or maybe put some sandals on. You know, if there's a lot of hornets in the ground. But you know, there's so many different ways of dealing with these experiences, And that's what I think is so important, is that you point out to people, you know, you can be a goddess or a god or a victim. Which way are you going to go?
Yeah.
I mean, we have the opportunity to make a choice in each and every moment. And, you know, when we're conscious of that, it just makes it so much easier. You know, it's like it's easy to fall into the trap of victim when you're not really paying attention, when you're not really watching your emotional body, when you're just on like your default setting, you know, but when you realize that you have a choice in every single moment and you can't stop in that moment the hornet stinging you, but everything from that point on is up to you. You know, are you going to embrace the pain and even allow yourself to accentuate it? Are you going, you know, and that was perfect what you did. And this is the thing that we need to do, is to watch how our energy works in all these situations. You know, to watch how, when is it that for me, I'm getting the most pissed off, the most upset with whatever it is. And then that's the proving ground for me. That's the challenge du jour that is inviting me in. Hey there, Dr. Dream, here, you found it. You've stumbled on today's special. Now, how are you going to deal with it? How are you going to rise up to it? You know, what is it in you that is going to handle this? And there are times that I fall completely on my face, not stepping up to it, you know, the default programming for that particular trigger I haven't completely dealt with or something like that. And I'm in the midst, you know, just to bring it down to, like, the real world, I'm in the midst of, you know, some things right now. I've thrown myself into this drone photography, and I lost a drone yesterday. And it just, you know, and it was like, okay, you know, here, it's not only is it a big expense, but you've got clients set up and this and the other thing. And it was like, all right, how are you going to deal with this? Where energetically, where are you going to go with this? How are you going to transmute it, or what are you going to own? How much of the victim are you going to play in this? And I've got to tell you, this is within the last 18 hours, and I'm still processing my way through it. And it's one heck of a roller coaster, but this is what's been served up to me. This is, you know, as I say, the experience du jour, you know, and I've ordered it up, you know, I want today's special, and boy, it, you know, I went to sleep last night, I thought, oh, I'll feel better in the morning, and I woke up, you know, with that, like, pit of the stomach thing that just doesn't feel right, and things aren't, you know, and it's like, all right, here it is, this is my stuff today, this is great, I don't even have that many appointments and everything, I've got a lot of time to work on this. And it's difficult, and I'd rather not be dealing with it. But quite honestly, you know, I don't have a choice, and so I'm addressing it at the highest level possible while trying not to lower myself. And then we realize that the people around us play a really important role also. Laura, you know, who's been part of this with me, has not at all sort of laid down the path for me to be the victim or all this. She's been very compassionate, but not so like, oh, that's horrible, and these, you know, electronics that just, you know, they're not as advanced. You know, all the things she could have said that would have made me on the surface feel better, but would have allowed me to go into the victim place, she didn't go anywhere near that. And we play that role for people. We play that role for people when we talk about the geoengineering and the chemtrails. You know, are we going to spin it in a way that allows a bigger crack in the person's foundation, or are we going to help them see it and feel it in a way that is like handing them mortar, I guess, that, I don't know, I'm not a builder, but handing them, you know, drywall or whatever to help solidify their foundation. And we play that role for everyone, and it's how we live, and it's how we share, and it's the energy that we carry.
I think it's, you know, I find it interesting. I mean, I've had people go, well, that's fear porn, you know, where I said, I'm not afraid of it, you know, I'm not afraid of talking about it either. And then there's other people that just won't look at it at all. They go, no, it doesn't exist. That's just not real. You know, that would never happen. And then at the bottom of, you know, the level, there's people that go, oh, my God, we're all going to die. You know, it's like there's so many different programs going on there. And I think it's kind of, we need to take a balanced approach. One, we need to identify, yeah, there is a problem, and look at the effect that it's having on nature. And I mean, I'm seeing here like one-third of the trees are dying. It's crazy. I've never seen anything like it. But and my love for nature is what's getting me, you know, out there and talking about it. And, it, you know, I don't want those less fortunate or those who may not be able to transmute it, you know, to go through the pain and suffering of the consequences of that. So it's out of my love for humanity and nature, I'm addressing the information on it, you know, and bringing people to the awareness of it and the tools and how to, you know, things to do, you know, like clean up your diet, get rid of the heavy metals, do cleanses, you know, things like that. And you know, it's not out of fear that I'm functioning, you know, but at the same time, you know, it's like, you know, you do have people that are so afraid of it, they don't even want to look at it. You know, they don't even want to address the problem.
To me, yeah, I mean, it's in actual fact, the fear is fear of the self. You know, it's not fear of anything outside of us. It's fear of what we don't know about ourselves. You know, it's all about unconscious energy we haven't gotten to know yet. And so we fear what we don't know because we're getting to know ourselves and we're getting to know the fact that we're much more powerful than we think, that we have unbelievable abilities that are dormant that we can activate. And what we fear is that, oh, maybe that's not there. Maybe we can't handle it. Maybe we're powerless. Maybe something is controlling us. And it's all, you know, just to capture our minds and to make us believe it, because if we believe it, then everything follows and things manifest. And so they can't take our free will, but they can manipulate us into giving it away. And this is why we call this pushing the envelope of our divinity, because we're going to be challenged and we're going to continue to be challenged, but allow it to push the envelope of what you're made of rather than submit to what they want to see you do, which is go into fear, go into denial, go into, you know, giving your power away to some pharmaceutical company or looking outside to some source to make it okay when in actual fact they're getting you further immersed into the trap. And we see that everywhere in mainstream society and in New Age deceptions. And so pushing the envelope is basically, in the face of challenge and adversity, what can you bring forward that's going to change it for the better, where you're an empowered dreamer instead of you know, being tossed around like you're at the mercy of everything outside of you. We are just as much the creator of this experience as the stuff that gets thrown to us. It's a relationship. We're in relationship with the earth, with the elements, with spirit, with the depths of the womb of the mother, which has been called the underworld, which we're purifying from the patriarchal control systems that have turned it into hell. But there's no hell except for what we're unconscious to. And we feel that hellishness when we're, you know, willing to face those demons and willing to purge and release those energies. But once we go through it, we recognize that, oh my gosh, we're purifying hell. We're not going to hell. We're going into those dark zones so we can get our power back. And once we get our power back, we recognize the wholeness of it all rather than the duality of light and dark, because we're both.
I wonder a passage, and boy, my Bible mind's pretty much gone. I did study the Bible for self-defense, basically, but there's a passage where Jesus, I guess, descended into hell and came back with the keys.
Yeah.
You know, which is interesting. And you really think about it, we need to descend into our own subconscious and our own old wounds and traumas and programs and go into that dark night of the soul, is what you talked about, and then we come back with the keys.
And it's the most amazing thing ever. And, you know, I really respect challenges and adversity. I think it's where the goodies are. I mean, I do, you know, astro charts all the time, and the ones that have the most harmonious aspects are the people that are the most complacent, that are, you know, just really not knowing what to do with it all, without really having the thought forms or the urgency within them to even know that they don't know what to do with it all. It's just like they're just sort of kind of going with the flow of it, but not questioning the jobs that they have or the abuses that are taking place. It's just they're just kind of in the flow. And we see that with people at the grocery store. It's like, you know, just people tending to their everyday that, you know, are going on their fishing trips and not realizing that the waters and the skies are being absolutely polluted and that everything they're enjoying about nature is being compromised. And it's like this complacency and harmony without questioning everything. It's the ones that are challenged and dealing with the most adversity that are actually waking up and actually becoming guardians of the sacred energies of life and of this planet. So let's all bless the adversity and challenges, because they come to us for a reason, and it's because we can handle it and take it to the next level.
And there's this aspect of, you know, people kind of holding back and, you know, don't want to talk about weather modification. I don't want to seem like one of those crazy people. What would my family think of me? And it's like, get off that BS trip, okay? If you're bothered by it and you want people to know about it so they can be thinking about it, share it, because those people in your family are probably just waiting for you to step up because it gives them permission. And so all this holding back, all this, oh, what will people think? And will I come across all funky and sound like I'm crazy and everything else? Throw that caution BS, you know, out the window and just move forward with your life and your energetic field. And if you feel energetically called to share something in a way that you know can serve people's process and their evolution, don't hold back, okay? That's as bad as being part of the problem, is holding back your energy from assisting people with it.
And that always stems back to a fear of losing someone's acceptance and approval or love, which is totally keeps you from being authentic.
Yeah, and it's like with 7 billion people on the planet, you know, why put all your attention and attachment towards those that don't even want to see you for who you are? You know, and it's like we just are so conditioned to need, you know, security because we are in such a traumatic experience that we just need, you know, to feel that we're loved and we're cared about and that, you know, we fit in. But it's like once we release ourselves from that and we just focus on our own self-love, not only do we allow them to, you know, find their own inner truth and we kind of stop the dynamic of, you know, hiding or projecting, we attract those into our lives that are really in alignment with who we are. And we start to live in that divine reflection of what we're made of on the inside. And at first it feels like a big risk and it's like maybe a little bit daunting and scary, but once one does it, it's like the transformation that follows is huge for everybody.
You know, we just had Sonia Barrett here doing a talk, and it was kind of hilarious. And she was talking about how when she awoke, you know, and really got on this path, you know, she started losing a lot of friends, and she just couldn't relate to what they were saying and doing, and she was struggling with that. And then she said that, you know, her husband or whatever wanted to have a birthday party for her, and he said, well, give me a list of your friends, you know, to invite the birthday party, you know, the ones you want to come. And she's going, oh my God, you know, I don't have, you know, she goes, I might, you know, because since this journey, I lost most of my friends and everything. And it was kind of funny. And then he said, you know, we're going to have to pay people to come to the birthday party or get some surrogate friends to step in so we can have a party. And it was just hilarious, you know, when she was talking about it, you know, she goes, I think about good friends. I got like one, you know, because I'm,
yeah.
You know, like it's hilarious that I can really sit down and talk to and be myself. And, yeah, which is amazing. And, you know, that it goes back to the old sign, you know, that old saying, you know, a Christ has no place to lay his head or, you know, things like that, because when you step out of social consciousness and you're seeing things for how they are, it does get, you know, you do to go through a shift, you know, but the way I see it is that we can either, you know, be a hermit and, you know, like the ranch here, I go, well, I had a choice. I either got a cabin and just said to hell with everybody and lived out in the woods and forgot about everything, or I create a place where I can turn everybody else into aliens, you know, like myself. and to me, that I think that's the path we all need to get on to start. Say, hey, you know, it's time to shake people up and shake them out of their comfort zones and get them, you know, moving, you know, moving ahead and creating a future that's sustainable versus just let them, you know, I guess, flounder until the big hammer comes down.
Yeah, and then that's really out of their comfort zone, you know.
Yeah,
and I think, you know, that I love that story from Sonia, and we've had some good experiences with her. She's wonderful. It really points out that when you get on the path, when you really open yourself up to it, you maybe realize that the friends you had when you were, you know, steeped in distraction and playing the game differently than you're choosing now, that those friends were, you know, sort of keeping you, enabling you to stay in that place, enabling you to stay stuck as a victim and everything else. And then when you stand up, and it's like, you know, in my own life, when I stood up and said, hey, wow, I'm not going to, I don't want to be a victim anymore. I'm not going there. People started falling off by the droves. And it was like, it was because they were there playing a role. And then all of a sudden, I don't need that role anymore. And more than that, I don't want that energy around anymore. And it was tough because, you know, it's like, wait a sec, I love these people. And it's like, yeah, but the way the energetic has been set up is it's no longer serving you. And I think people just need to get good about that. And when we stop looking for validation from those around us, from our friends, you know, like, oh, it's so important to have friends because they're going to validate me and everything else. It's like, people, you know, validate yourself. Don't put that on anyone else. And then see who the real people are that are drawn into your space and supporting you and looking for your support.
Yeah, I kind of have a,
yeah,
I get a little, oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I just got really tired of it, and just looking around me, it was kind of easy to just sort of break away from those that I felt didn't serve me. But, you know, you almost feel like you need something else, though, to, you know, step in, and it takes a little bit of time to get used to, you know, that feeling of aloneness, or just, okay, I just have to be used to being isolated and alone and make that a sanctuary. And it's just important to cultivate that so that it's not about that outward acceptance.
You know, I think when I started this program here at the ranch, you know, about 27 years ago, I was all alone here building the main house, the bridge house. And at first, there was two things going on. One, there was kind of like aloneness, you know, feeling a little bit alone. But the more I meditated and the more I tapped in, I realized you're never alone. And then I started having all these other beings coming to me. And I really loved hanging out with them more than anything else. So my inner time became more important, you know, more fulfilling. There's a lot more love and joy and wisdom, you know, in those moments. And then I just kind of pulled away, you know, from social consciousness and all the other programs that are running, you know, within social consciousness. But, you know, I feel like a lot of people go, well, you lost everything. I go, oh, you have no idea what I gained, you know, until you do it.
Oh, there's nothing better. I'm so grateful for all the losses and all the catastrophes and the natural disasters I created in my life. I mean, I really am, because just like you said, you know, I learned to just, and it was just amazing to just feel just so much peace with just me, and feeling like I'm my own best friend, and I just really honor and appreciate my mission and who I am, and that's enough for me. And then all the different things that end up showing up, and once I got comfortable with it, that's when, you know, people started to re-enter my life, and I went from having like zero friends or one friend to just having, you know, what we have now. And but I can function from a place of, this is really who I am, versus the old me, which was just kind of looking around the room like, are you kidding me? Like, this is really what people are, you know, focused on and programmed by. I'm like, it was painful actually to be around it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is, and people don't understand that now. It's like there's I won't mention, there's some people in my life that, you know, they watch TV, you know, 24/7, basically. The TV's always blaring, and they're watching things like Judge Judy, and they're watching all these, you know, shoot 'em up, you know, victim, you know, the old program. You know, every movie has the boy meets girl, boy saves girl, or the together they save the planet, or whatever, you know, the same program, you know, that whole triangle, victim, savior, persecutor program going. And it's just like, you look at that, and it's just there's just no energy in it. And as a matter of fact, it's actually draining, you know, to be around, you know. And I always tell people, you know, well, they go, well, you're in judgment. And I go, well, no, it's like there's energies and there's, you know, sympathetic resonance. And if you hang around in the toilet long enough, you're going to get some crap on you. It's just the way it works, you know.
Yeah.
So sometimes you have to make a choice, you know.
Hmm.
And it's, you know, people just need to take a look at their lives, you know, and I guess the tough part is when people just really want to stay in the dark, when, you know, they're just not ready. And so one of my challenges is, you know, when I run into that, is to just allow people that space. Sure, if they show up in front of me, I'm going to go ahead and plant seeds in the conversation, in the interaction. I'm going to share what my truth is that I'm being called to share in that moment. But it's no longer based on my success in that moment, so to speak, air quotes, is no longer based on what their reaction is. Or did I move them to take action against geoengineering? It's like, no, I'm just, they've shown up in front of me. I have my truth to share. How they deal with it, how they assimilate it, what they do with it, that's not my business. You know, I posted something the other day. I saw, you know, not my circus, not my monkeys. You know, I'm still going to share what I have to share. But, it's not based on anything. I have no expectations of what that will do. It's just that if I find myself wherever I am, I have my truth, and that's what I'm a beacon of energy about. And beyond that, it's all going to happen the way it's going to happen. And I don't, you know, it's scary to think about people waking up before they're really ready to. You know, so much of this information, we have some people in our lives that we would love to have step up in the evolutionary process of understanding the truer nature of reality, but we also understand that if they allow themselves to crack the foundation too early, it could really send them into sort of a dangerous place for them. That's what I feel about when people just don't allow themselves to wake up, that the shock of it could be too much for their system. There's an energy or a power about them that knows best, and those seeds will take hold and grow and blossom when they're ready for it, when the foundation can handle it.
Mm-hmm. And I know the universe is going to teach them whatever they need to know, regardless of me. And I found out lately, I think the key with everything is the only reason anybody has any power over you is because you want something from them, and be it their love, their acceptance, their approval, or even an attachment to the outcome. You know, and we just have to let go of all of that and just practice that. I think it's, I forgot the word for it, but there's a loving detachment, you might say, you know, where you just say what comes through you in the moment and don't have any attachment to the outcome, and just let it go where it needs to go.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Loving detachment. That just encapsulates it right there. And just being able to walk away from all those situations knowing you played the role that you were to play. You were in your truth. Whatever happens beyond that doesn't matter. You know, you did your thing, and you did it at the highest level that you know how to do it in that moment. The next moment, you may be able to take it up a notch. You know, I may be able to take it up a notch. But, good stuff.
Yeah. And I was also thinking, you know, no matter what our current circumstances are, we always kind of find something that isn't right about it. Maybe something isn't going our way. Maybe we're not making enough money. Maybe something is somewhat falling apart. But we really got to, like, look at, you know, a better perspective. And there's these books I read when I was a kid called the Wise Men books, and they're just a little kid's book. And, you know, basically this guy has a drop of water driving him nuts and keeping him up at night outside of his window. He goes to the wise man. The wise man says, okay, bring a cow in. The guy brings a cow in. The next day, bring a chicken in, and on to where his house is then filled with all this noise. And then one by one, he takes it all away, and he's left with the drop again, and he's just like, thank God it's only the drop. So anytime, you know, we're dealing with any sort of challenge, you know, visualize that there's a lot more than just that challenge, and then slowly take it away and realize that you're lucky that it's only that, and just be grateful that, you know, grateful for the blessings. We have to cultivate gratitude. And in doing that, we feel more empowered and less insecure and less in need of others' approval, because we don't feel the need to supplement that feeling of pain and constriction because something's not going right. We're far more blessed than we, you know, give ourselves credit for, and we need to function with greater laws, universal laws, not artificial matrix laws.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was talking to this kind of a rough experience, but I was talking to this guy. He's having problems. He's having a lot of problems, and he's out of the military, and he's back home now and everything, and he's dealing with some problems. And I go, well, I said, you could be a Christian in Iraq right now, like that. And, you know, because of his involvement over there, it just really hit him. And he goes, geez, man, I got to start being grateful for where I am and what I do have here and things like that. And it just totally shifted his perspective.
Yeah. It's important. I try and do that every day.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we start focusing on what we do have, you know, and, you know, going to that sense of gratitude, you know, we can really shift a lot of things. But at the same time, we have to I think, look at what is happening on the planet, do whatever we can to, you know, to move the planet back into alignment with universal law and help in, you know, in the pain and suffering through empowerment, you know, and waking people up to, you know, how they agree to it on one level or another.
Mm-hmm.
And just taking a look at, you know, everything involved in our own lives and asking ourselves, is this assisting the evolution of the planet, of the collective? Is this action that I'm taking, is this way of me being in the world? You know, and it's everything from what and the way you drive to, I mean, just everything. What and the way you eat, how you treat people, how you, I mean, just the whole thing, you know, and we just need to give ourselves enough time of that inner process. You know, I get that the outer reality is very compelling and wants to draw us in so much, but the inner reality, you know, is even more compelling and even more of an expansiveness to be explored. And that is, that's the frontier, you know, that's where it's all going to happen. And then it'll play out, you know, outside for all of us.
I like what Muktananda said. He said everything boils down to two things, you know, the love and the lack of love. And when we get it back down to the basics, you know, and we look at what people do and everything else, it's either done in love or it's done out of lack of love, you know, and love seems to be the answer no matter what.
Yes.
It's nice to just bring it down to the most basic energetic, you know, is that from love or is that not from love? You know, it's yes or no, it's black or white, it's, you know, and it's, that's good. That should be on our on our forehead or on my forearm so I can just look down and say, oh yeah, right, that's the test. Okay, whoops, that one wasn't quite from that place of love that I strive to be coming from. Adjustment needed.
Yeah, the ego needs that more than anything else because the ego connects to our adrenaline. We get really fired up. But when it's connected to love, it connects us with our passion. When it connects with, you know, fear, we tend to act out and we feel vulnerable. And so with, you know, not wanting to show that side of us because we think it's weak, because that's the programming, you know, we move away from love. And so the ego needs to be reminded of it constantly because we can, you know, try and stay in that vibration all we want. But when that trigger happens or that reaction happens or something doesn't go our way, you know, a person can easily shift into anger, blame, judgment, you know, being critical of others. And it's important to just say everything's perfect just the way it is and it's happening for a reason. And that is the highest form of love, is acceptance, unconditional love, and tolerance, because we get exactly what we need. We're here to develop on a soulful level. We're not here to prove our worth based on riches and status. We're here to develop spiritually and soulfully, and we get exactly what we need to do that. And that's the most important thing, not what we accumulate, not who we know and what, you know, all these superficialities. And so the ego needs to be trained to focus on that so that it can really hold that vibration, which then becomes the vehicle for us being in alignment with our passion and our deepest soul longing that is usually, you know, a great mission and a great calling to assist this planet and humanity in taking a major step into what we're truly made of and, you know, higher dimensional earth energy.
And that highest form of love has everything to do with acceptance. It's not, well, I'll love you if you toe the line with me about, you know, chemtrails and weather modification. It's like, no, it's I'm going to love no matter where you're at and no matter what's going on. I mean, it's that compassionate self that's not looking to change anyone, that's not looking to turn the person into something else that I want them to be. You know, that's not love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I was just thinking about breaking things down to the basics, you know, and, you know, the basic do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And I was thinking about the planet, you know, it's like, if you poison the planet, you know, would you want the planet to poison you? And basically there is no you, you know, because it's all one, so you're just poisoning yourself. So I think, you know, those basic principles are so true. If we could just break things down to basic and start operating from that, you know, we could turn this whole planet around.
Yeah. Because everything is about frequency, and, you know, when we dream at night, you know, everything's a metaphor to what we're carrying throughout the day that we're unconscious to. And so, you know, people kind of don't recognize how powerful we are. We're free energy technology. We're sound healers. Our voice and the tones that we use, the words that we share, you know, Hermes, the magician, you know, we have to recognize that communication is the magic wand. And if we keep supporting the things we don't want, we're going to keep manifesting it. But if we keep empowering the things we do want and we voice it and we have a tone and resonance with it and we share it, it shifts things, and it's a magic. It's magic. That's where magic comes from, is our ability to use our words wisely and have them be in alignment with our dreams, and to keep reinforcing that into our physical world through that vehicle of expression.
Mm-hmm. And we need to, John Kelly was here, and he was doing some of the speech reversals, and I thought it was amazing, and this is going off on a little different tangent, but, you know, when he was doing speech reversals of our leadership and the things that they were saying, it was so clear what their motives, but, you know, it's like this sandbox, and they got the whole world to play in their sandbox and join them. You know, like Bush Jr. was saying, "I'll finish it, Daddy," you know, before he was even elected. He already planned on going to Iraq and finishing that, you know, and there's a lot of things like that, these programs and agendas. And I think, you know, we have to realize, like, do I, you know, like Hitler had a sandbox, you know, Gandhi had a sandbox, you know, they all had different sandboxes. And I think it's time to choose, you know, which sandbox we're going to play in and stop participating in the sandboxes that are, you know, creating karma and bringing pain and suffering or loss to others.
Definitely. Well, I feel we're all in the same sandbox, sharing our buckets and making castles together.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. But, yeah, it's quite... It's funny. I just see with this new energy coming in, we're going to see very clearly what works and what doesn't work, and how much aligned we are with universal law and what we need to look at and release, and what we can keep working with. You know, so it's like we're in this big crash course now, and just, you know, keeping what's sustainable and what's in line with universal law, and letting go what isn't.
Yeah, definitely. And that's why we have to embrace the positive and negatives and give them just as much respect when things, you know, don't maybe go the way we'd like it to go. We have to give it ultimate respect, because not only does it humble us, it forces us to dig deeper into who we are, to be resourceful and inventive and creative, and, you know, to expand. It expands us. You know, we tend to think that it hurts us, or it's misfortune, or it's, you know, bad, but... And that reinforces it and keeps us from the lesson and the epiphany, you know, and our wisdom body, in order to take it to the next level.
About one minute.
Yeah, we're at the end of the hour, unfortunately, so we've got to close the energy out. And I'm looking so forward, you know, August 25th to the 27th, to seeing you here at ESETI doing your workshop. And I need to let people know they need to go to ESETI Reservation @gmail.com to find out more about this event. And anyway, thank you both so much for coming on the show, and keep up the great work.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, James. Just point of clarification, it's July 25, 26, and 27, and it's going to be an outrageously expansive experience for all of us, and I hope everyone can join us.
All right. Have a good one.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.